to declare to them, the things you're doing are wicked and evil in the sight of God in your church there. Because the vineyard represents Israel in the religious sense. And so also, I am the vine, ye are the branches. That Jesus Christ in the Christian churches is also like a vineyard. God expects to get grapes out of it. The proper fruit, the proper produce. But instead, what does he get? Twofold more the children of hell. Twofold more the heretics. Twofold more the sinners. Therefore his prophets come forth to rebuke, and they receive them not. And given the right circumstances, they even treat them shamefully. And given the right circumstances, they will wound them and put them to death. But God also can judge. And he brings forth prophets sometimes, like Elijah, who when they came to him, they said, "Thou man of God, come with us. You're under arrest." And Elijah said, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour you and your 50. When God judges heretics, he doesn't need to tie them to stakes. When heretics judge the righteous, that's what they do. The husbandmen are the heretics. And the servants of God, though they are not recognized as such, are here to collect on a debt to the truth, a debt to God. They hold the promises of God. They carry the keys to the kingdom. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They neither enter in themselves nor suffer those that are entering in to go in. God forbid." No. Amen. This is what is. Verse 17, "And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. The Son of God who they rejected as Son of God is Son of God, and is set down at the right hand of God, and is the foundation on which all the rest of God's doings are built. Verse 18, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." People stumble at Christ all the time. You know, Christ, his words, the name. It's become such a complicated issue. Because what Christ are you talking about? There's all kinds of Christs out there. There's all kinds of Jesuses. Your mind swims with all the thoughts and ideas that men have put out there. Who is Jesus? They have all kinds of books. The search for the historical Jesus. The biblical Jesus. I mean, no one can agree. But the true Christ is something that someone stumbles over. Hey, and if your doctrine is false and people are stumbling at it, woe to you. It's impossible that offenses, but that offenses should come. But woe to them by whom the offenses come. It was better for you that a millstone should be hanged by your neck than that you should bring offense to one of those little ones that believe in him, that you should cause them to stumble. The scripture is Psalm 118. It's the same one they were quoting when Jesus made his triumphal entry. Verse 22 of Psalm 118 says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord." Hosanna. That's what Hosanna is. "O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Give thanks to God, for he is good, for his mercy endureth." You see that in the salvation of God, there is also the sacrifice of Christ. It is written that he had to be rejected. And woe to them that reject him. But woe more to those upon whom he falls. Like I said, the men of Jesus' generation will rise in judgment against the final generation when he falls on them. Because if the miracles that they had seen had been done in Jesus' day, the Pharisees would have repented. They would have repented. if they had seen fire from heaven, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear of those things which are coming on the earth. They would have repented. But the men of this generation, of the final generation when it occurs, they will not repent, but will go on in the wickedness of their way, and woe unto them, for Jesus Christ is going to fall upon them and grind them to powder. Verse 19, and the chief priests and scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Oh, they were pretty smart. They figured out, he's talking about us. In that parable, we are the husbandmen. We are the men, and he thinks he's God's son. Oh, how dare he! You know, they're not very pleased with Jesus preaching, with his teaching, with his parables, because they perceive, oh, it's against us. You hear that? He's talking about us. I know what he's saying. 1 Peter chapter 2 also quotes this scripture from Psalm 118. And another one, that being in verse 6. Whereunto it is contained also in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It's quoted from Isaiah 28, verse 16. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. The men of Jesus' generation were blind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, so that God hid the wisdom from them, so that they would crucify him, so that they would reject him. Because if they truly believed the message, if the wisdom of God came into them to say, this is God's son, they would not be as these husbandmen in the parable. They would say, whoa, this is the son. They will reverence my son. But see, when God sent his son, he did not send his son with credentials that these husbandmen were willing to accept. And God knew this. You say, well, wasn't there the healings and all that? Yeah, but that wasn't enough for them. They wanted something big. That wasn't good enough. And the way he did it rubbed them wrong. He's healing on the Sabbath days. God set it up. God set them up. So, well, you know, that seems unfair. Why does he yet find fault? Because that's who they are. They're very unpleasant people. And out of a sense of self-preservation, yeah, if they knew the truth, they would have not have crucified him. But God wasn't willing to give them that opportunity.